This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the Little Boogeyman. All right.
Coming down the aisle, it's the podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And today we have a special episode. We are going to be talking about the Money in the Bank pay-per-view that just happened over the weekend. And I was pretty excited for this. The crowd is back. They came back the Friday before on SmackDown, where I thought the crowd was electric on SmackDown, where for some reason, I don't know, I thought the crowd at Money in the Bank was kind of hot and cold. Had some moments where they were really into stuff, and then there was moments where I thought they just wasn't into it. Like, we'll start and get with the first match of the night, which actually was second match of the night, technically.
Katy Perry, the crowd, huh?
Yeah, very... What?
Katy Perry.
What about her?
It's a very Katy Perry crowd, you know? I'm hot and I'm cold. I'm yes and I'm no. Oh, I'm in gosh. And I'm out. No? No?
Okay. This is a grown man, people. So anyhow. but no, like, for the Women's Money in the Bank, and I agree, the Women's Money in the Bank was not as exciting as I was hoping. It definitely was not up to par when it comes to the men's version this year. I thought that was sad. I thought there were some couple good moments, but really, I don't know. There was something about the women's one that just wasn't spectacular, I guess. And I think the crowd really knew it. I thought they were just maybe waking up at that moment. They wasn't really hyped. And right. You would have think live crowds, first show pay-per-view. You've been, yeah, first pay-per-view with a live crowd, you'd have thought these guys been pumped up. The match before that, let's go back and talk about the match first. First match of the night was technically in the pre-show for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championships. The Usos, Jay and Jimmy Uso, defeated Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio to win the titles. I kind of felt this needed to happen. Rey and Dominic, they have kind of been taking off television during their title reign to sell the injuries that Roman Reigns had done to them and everything, definitely to Dominic. But for some reason, I mean, I don't know if there was another reason why they were, I mean, they just wasn't doing much with them as tag team champions. So to put it on the Usos made sense. It does kind of surprise me, the timing, because of which one got pulled over, Jimmy or Jay. One of them got a DUI recently. I didn't know if that was going to affect anything with him being on TV. You know, I guess this isn't the NFL. He's not getting suspended for a couple weeks or something. So yeah, I just wasn't. I was a little surprised at the timing. But yeah, the Usos are now tag team champions, which makes the Bloodline have, you know, the majority of the titles on SmackDown. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I didn't actually watch the pre-show, so I didn't get to see this match.
It was actually, I thought it was a fun match. I thought it was actually pretty good match of the night. Like I said, I was happy to see the Usos win, just because Rey and Dominic hasn't really done a lot with the titles, so there just didn't seem to be a direction there. But I thought this match was really fun, had a lot of good spots. I enjoyed this match. But we'll move on to the actual show, and we'll get to the Women's Money in the Bank match, which I know we kind of already talked a little bit about. What'd you like? What'd you dislike? I mean, what'd you think of the Money in the Bank match for the women?
So, a couple things I did like. First off, I love how they make Alexa Bliss seem like the powerhouse. You know what I mean? Like, they did it in the Royal Rumble, and they do it here, and I loved when all the girls, like, all pretty much teamed up to take out Bliss and throw, like, a bunch of ladders on her. Like, she's getting the Nia Jax treatment, you know what I mean? The China treatment. You know, you have this huge, strong powerhouse of a woman, and everybody teams the Andre the Giant treatment, you know?
Well, I mean, and not in the same way, though. They're not treating her like a... Like, you keep using the term powerhouse. She's a supernatural character. Well, she's getting more of a... And I know he's bigger, too, but let's just follow me along here. She's getting the Undertaker treatment, where she's being treated like she's more than a wrestler. Like, everybody's kind of nervous around her, scared of her. That's the treatment she's getting.
I realize that. Well, my only point when I say powerhouse, I mean, that's kind of how you treat a powerhouse. I'm not saying she is a powerhouse. I realize that it's because of the supernatural aspect and all that. But I'm saying she's getting that kind of treatment whenever she's in these, like, big matches with a bunch of people. She's getting the treatment that she is the dominant force, okay? Is that a better way to describe it? She's the dominant force that everybody's concerned about.
I'm okay with that term, dominant force.
So I'm not saying she is a powerhouse.
I wasn't okay with the powerhouse term.
Well, I know she's not a powerhouse. I'm just saying that's how she's being treated. She's being treated like every other giant, strong man, everyone else, where they have to team up. All the wrestlers have to team up to get rid of her. That's how she's being treated, and that's how she was treated in this Money in the Bank. I do like that. I'm not sure how I feel about the whole hypnotizing thing she does.
Yeah, that's...
That was weird.
Yeah, she did that to Zelina Vega to get her down the ladder. I thought that was kind of odd. Which, she's been doing that a couple times now. Yeah, she has. It's just odd.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it.
I don't know either.
Yeah, like, she did that with Nia Jax, too.
We've had people... I mean, there comes a point where you're almost insulting our intelligence as an audience. We know wrestling is what it is. We know what it is. We're adults. We get it. But there are sometimes they do things that's like, okay, now you're treating us like we're babies here. Come on now. It's like... I mean, we were okay with the things Undertaker was doing. He's turning the lights off. He's making the fire come out. You know, Kane's making the fire come out. There's certain things that's like, okay, yeah, we get that. The hypnotizing thing is just kind of odd.
Well.
And she's done it now a few times.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. Because the thing is, I love Alexa Bliss. And I actually, for the most part, enjoy this character. So it's not something that's like, oh man, I hate Alexa Bliss now because she hypnotizes people, but...
I love the way she's moving in the ring. Uh-huh. Her little sit down in the middle of the ring, her crawling with her legs like kind of over, yeah, you know, kind of contortioning sort of.
Yeah, I love
All that. The hypnotizing thing, I think, starting to go a little...
Or like when she's like climbing up the ladder...
Yeah, she did that. She climbed up the ladder.
Towards Liv Morgan, I believe it was.
Yes.
Was
on the other Which, end. I will tell you, I thought Liv Morgan was going to win this. They have been, if you've been watching SmackDown, they have constantly made it apparent that Liv Morgan was not getting welcomed into this match. But Liv Morgan kept beating these people who were qualified, actually never even qualified. They were awarding them spots to this match, and Liv Morgan was not getting a spot. She had to earn her spot, and I really thought they were telling a story where Liv Morgan was going to win, and I was very shocked that it was Nikki A.S.H., Nikki Cross, Nikki A.S.H., make a decision on this girl's name, for crying out loud. When she first started coming up with the superhero thing, they called her Nikki Cross. Then the following week, they're like, she's almost a superhero, so now she's Nikki Ash. And then at the pay-per-view, they called her Nikki A.S.H., which is the worst of the three. And I've heard a rumor that the reason they're changing Nikki Cross's name is because Karrion Kross is about to come up from NXT and into the main roster, and they don't want them both having the same last name. I think it's silly. I don't know why why would it confuse the WWE universe to have two Crosses? I think it's silly. I think it's stupid. I think Nikki Ash almost sounds good, but when they started calling her Nikki A.S.H. at the pay-per-view, that was where I was like,
where you draw the line.
Yeah. Not only is that stupid to name off these letters, but this was your Money in the Bank winner for the women.
Yeah, I know.
So my issues. Not really with her. They're really pushing this whole superhero gimmick. I just thought Liv Morgan was, they were telling a story that Liv Morgan should have won this. I would also like to point out, since we were talking about supernatural things on Alexa Bliss, I thought they were teasing the ending of the match. I thought Alexa Bliss was going to somehow pull the Money in the Bank down.
I was kind of hoping.
I was like, that would be kind of the coolest way to end. Although, like, if you're going to insult my intelligence, that'd be a cool way to win the match. Like, not even climbing the ladder. If you would have had, like, all seven girls up on the ladder and Alexa kind of sitting there with her legs folded and then go, you know what? And then win the match that way, I think that would have been cool. Or even if she dropped it down and one of the seven girls that were up on the ladder catches it.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been a cool finish, too. But instead, they had six of the girls because obviously Alexa was piled up
probably
on ladders.
Who all is in this match?
Yeah.
So we have Nikki Ash, Zelina Vega, Liv Morgan, Alexa Bliss, Natalya. We had Tamina. Who, let's face it, to me, Tamina was the least likely person to win this match.
Tamina?
Yeah, I didn't think Tamina was winning at
all. I kind of thought Natalya might have had a chance, to be honest.
Yeah.
There was a
part
moment.
Part of me says no, because normally the tag team champions don't win.
And did you notice they didn't do the cliche moment with the tag team where they finally had to fight each other?
Yeah.
They never did it.
Yeah, they didn't do it, but they I don't never know if they it. Really do that in ladder matches as much as like in a Royal Rumble.
I thought there was going to be a moment where they both went after the ladder and then, wait a second, I want to win. No, I want to win, and then they, you know what I mean?
Right.
But they didn't do it. It's a cliche moment. It happens in wrestling. I was just surprised it didn't happen here. And then Naomi, I think. Did you name off Naomi?
No, I haven't named off Naomi.
Yeah, so, no, I really thought Liv Morgan had a chance. Oh, and Asuka.
Oh, and Asuka.
Asuka. Yeah. Asuka.
How did we forget
there.
Asuka?
Asuka was there. I thought Liv Morgan had a chance. Nikki Ash, I was surprised that she won. I thought Alexa Bliss might win, but I know she's won Money in the Bank before, but with her current gimmick, I thought maybe she might have won.
I thought she had a chance. I thought the top one was Liv Morgan and maybe Zelina. Like, I was wondering if maybe that's how they got
Zelina
back.
Well, they just brought Zelina back, so I wasn't sure.
I was wondering if that maybe that's how they got
back. And I gotta say, I really like Zelina's in-ring, like, her entrance gear with her, like, my family, we're all about to go to Mexico, so I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
Like, that headdress thing that she's wearing. I really like her image right now, so.
And not to just completely talk about Alexa, but I also love how Alexa just stood on the ropes almost the entire, pretty much the entire time.
Everybody was coming out.
Everybody was coming out, and then everybody starts wrestling. She stays on that rope just staring at everyone.
And then everybody leaves the ring, and she's skipping around the ring, and that's when she kind of reached up as if she was going to summon it. And when she reached up to summon it, I was like, that might be the way. Well, I knew it wasn't going to happen that early.
Yeah.
I was like, you're not going to end the match that early. Why would you do that? But I was like, I think they're teasing to the way this match is going to end, and it didn't happen that way. I think that would have been a cool finish.
Once they buried her in ladders, she was pretty much out of the match.
Right. So, but yeah, so that was the Money in the Bank match. I thought there was some good moments, and I thought there was some awkward moments. Obviously, the Zelina getting hypnotized and come down the ladder was kind of weird. But there was a couple good moments. But
who was your MVP of that match? What would you say? Who do you think shined the most?
I actually think Liv Morgan did. I think Liv Morgan had a lot of high spots. She had a lot of bright. They really focused on her, definitely in the center of the match. That I really believed. They had me really believing Liv Morgan was going to win that match. So I would say Liv Morgan. Weird thing is, you had Asuka in the match, and you obviously named off the competitors, and I almost forgot she was in the match because
she was.
I don't think she really shined much in this match, which you would think she would because it's Asuka. I mean, well, for how long?
Asuka was definitely one I didn't really want to win.
No, I didn't want to see her win it because she's already been champion. I like to see them develop new champions.
I do too.
So I was happy it was somebody like Nikki A.S.H. I'm not sold on the superhero thing yet. I did hear, I don't know if you've read, I get on the internet a lot.
I know there's a lot of controversy.
There's a lot of people who don't like it.
But it was her
idea. But it was her idea, I heard. So she's like, this was her idea. A lot of people are treating it like, oh, the WWE's ruining Nikki Cross. No, it sounds like Nikki Cross wanted to do this.
There was so much controversy, she had to go on, I believe, Twitter and talk about how, No, WWE didn't do this. This was my idea. This was my plan. I've been wanting to do this for a while. This was all me. It's like she literally said this was her gimmick, her idea. She had to explain that because a lot of
people... I just wonder if the Ash thing was theirs. Like, because she opened up with just Nikki Cross.
Maybe.
I think they've already tweaked it. But if they start calling her ASH every week...
I'm thinking it's going to stay like Nikki A.S.H., but like they might say ASH every once in a while.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
I think when you call her out, you should just go with the full almost a superhero or whatever it is.
Yeah, you should see, that's what it should have been. Almost a superhero, Nikki Cross, or whatever, you know, just, but of course they're trying to drop the Cross name, is what I've heard, because of Karrion Kross, which tells me Karrion Kross is coming up on the main roster, pretty soon, so, TikTok. Okay, we didn't even talk about, I know this didn't happen at Money in the Bank, but... Finn Balor made his return on SmackDown?
Oh, yeah.
So the Prince is back.
Balor.
So that is pretty cool. Lot of big surprises in the last couple episodes, SmackDown and now Money in the Bank with people coming back due to the fact that the live fans are back. So I think they're trying to make these shows a little bit more special.
There's more surprises on Raw. I watched Raw last
night. I have not watched Raw yet.
I'm
watched.
To keep my mouth shut about
I have not got a chance. We took the kids to Cedar Point yesterday. This is a Tuesday, by the way. We are doing this show on a Tuesday. And, I know it doesn't air till Saturday, but, we took the kids to Cedar Point, so I have not got a chance to watch Raw because my feet are killing me because I was walking around Cedar Point all day. So, standing in lines and walking and, good time. We took 11 kids up there with us. We let our daughters bring friends, and we took two vehicles up there, 11 kids. So there were 13 of us up there.
I can't believe you didn't lose one.
I think I did once or twice. Wait, I hope their parents aren't listening to my podcast. No, we kept them all in check. We did have to separate at times because some of the kids wanted to ride certain rides and other kids wanted to ride other rides.
Wait till your wife comes up to you and is like, so, I hear you mention that we lost some kids on your podcast. Well, this child's mother happens to be a fan.
We found them before the end of the day. It's okay. The Cedar Point security was very welcoming to us.
We're going to lose one of our listeners because you mentioned losing one of their children. Jeez. They don't even know which one.
No. So anyhow, So let's move on to the next match, which I found to be one of the better matches of the night. I really, really enjoyed this match. And it was one of those matches that when the match first started, as much as I love AJ Styles, I really thought the Usos shouldn't have been on the pre-show. They should have been on the main show. And my thought was AJ Styles and Omos versus the Viking Raiders should have been the show on the pre-show. I love AJ Styles, but I thought the rest of the crowd in that should have been pre-show material, where you had Rey Mysterio and the Usos, and okay, whatever, Dominic. But you had the Usos, which is in the big Bloodline storyline right now.
Yeah.
So I was surprised they were a pre-show match. Let's just say that. I was surprised they were a pre-show match. But I really, really enjoyed this tag team match. There was a lot of fun spots in this match. And Omos as a big guy, I like Omos as a big guy. I like a lot of big guys, some are awkward. Like Great Khali, anybody? He never got to a point where I thought he was worthy of being a big name with the world title. I never got into the Great Khali. Never. I thought he was an awkward worker. I know he was a weird big guy, but he couldn't move.
No.
He
was just really, really big.
Omos reminds me more of Big Show, where I think he's going to be a good big guy.
Yeah.
Not as bulky as Big Show, obviously.
He's really fun with the power moves. One thing I loved, one spot I enjoyed a lot, was Omos throwing AJ Styles into one of the Viking Raiders and AJ doing a Hurricanrana right afterwards. It was really cool. And then I've talked to this quite a bit. Him throwing the Viking Raiders partner into his other partner as he's trying to take the pin, to break up a pin. I don't know if I've ever seen that. I know it had to have happened before. Somebody's had to have their partner thrown into them to break up a pin. But I don't recall ever seeing it. And it was a really cool spot. One thing Omos needs to work on, though, is selling. There's a point where both Viking Raiders are, attacking him and, repeatedly. And he just, had this weird look, this dizzy look. He went to comedy school of how to sell a move, and he was like, ooh, I'm dizzy now because you hit me.
Well, and let me defend Omos in his defense. When you're that big, how often are you selling? So, yes, he has to work on it. But how often has he had to sell?
No, he doesn't.
Up until this point, he's been like the squash guy. He has dominated guys in the ring. He's not getting beat up very much. Although he did take a good clothesline out of the ring.
And I understand that, but at the same time, for me, selling moves is one of the most important things you'll do as a wrestler.
Well, let's be honest. This guy got the job because of his size.
I know.
But I think he's doing a good job, and he's still young.
He is doing a good job.
Or he's still new at it. I don't know how young. I don't know his age.
I believe our job is to point out things that we notice. And
No. I'm completely fine with you criticizing. I'm just telling you, he's one of the better big men I have seen. They've tried to bring big men in. A lot of big men are awkward. And that's why I pointed out the Great Khali, because he's kind of one of the most famous ones that got to stick around for a long time, who was very awkward. And I'm surprised he stuck around. I mean, you know, he was around way too long for how awkward he was.
A lot of Great Khali is politics in a way. They wanted him to be champion and everything to please Indian audiences.
Is that what you think?
No, that's...
Is that a true story? Is that...
So when he was a heel, whenever they would do... whenever they showed him in his home country, they tweaked it where the fans were cheering for him, and they made him to be the good guy in his home country.
So you're telling me they manipulate crowd noise in the WWE? You know, perhaps. I'll tell you what, I've been watching the Thunderdome, and I think that was literally the people on the computers cheering.
Yeah.
Doesn't everybody have a mic when you're in the Thunderdome?
Yeah, I have no idea how that works.
You mean they were piping in crowd noise?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Oh, my
gosh. But this is way before the Thunderdome. But I didn't know you could do that. I've heard stories that they kind of just show Kali in a good light. Because he was considered a hero in his home. And I think that's what, if I remember right, that's why they made him a face, is because the fans in his home country loved him, and so they started kind of going with it.
Okay, well, but like I said,
which isn't too far from like whenever a wrestler who is a heel goes to their hometown
or in Canada,
they get cheered.
They always called back in the day, even when Bret Hart was a heel or Owen Hart was a heel, or some of them Canadian wrestlers were heels. They'd go to Canada, and I remember Jerry Lawler always being like, this is Bizarro Land.
Yeah,
because the fans were cheering the heels because they were cheering the Canadian wrestlers.
Right.
So he would always mention that, being like, this is Bizarro Land. But I'm guessing back then they didn't pipe in noise or nothing to the TV audience, because obviously they talked about it while it was happening, you know, so it's kind of funny. Okay, so we're going to move on. AJ Styles and Omos retain the WWE Raw Tag Team Champions, and they should. They've been good. I love AJ Styles. I can't wait till AJ's back in the title picture or something, because AJ is
a tag team champion.
He is literally, he's literally phenomenal. So yeah, I'm enjoying AJ with this giant guy where he's kind of like smacking him in the chest, like, hey, man, you know, and they're kind of laughing. They're a good, funny heel. And, oh, I almost forgot to mention, let's keep in mind the Viking Raiders were the faces in this match. So let's point that out. The crowd was chanting AJ Styles loudly and constantly.
We haven't got to be crowd members in so long that I think they do not care.
Oh, yeah. They were chanting AJ Styles very loudly and proudly. And it was awesome because he's supposed to be the heel, and they're, like, chanting him as loud. I actually thought that was the moment that most of the crowd woke up. Because I didn't think they were awake on the Money in the Bank match for the women yet. They woke up because they were chanting AJ Styles. He would tag Omos in, and they would boo at first, but then Omos started doing some cool things, and I think they started respecting him and cheering him. But at first, I thought they were like, every time AJ would tag out, they were disappointed. Because every time AJ would tag in, it was AJ Styles, you know, every time. And it was like, they feel the same way I do about AJ Styles. I don't care if he's a heel or a face. I love AJ Styles. He's awesome. I've been watching him since his TNA days. The dude's phenomenal. He has the name. It's not a gimmick. He's phenomenal. He really is.
I like AJ Styles as well.
So yeah, I'm liking that. And I think AJ can do comedy really well. And he's a hell of a... I mean, he's pretty good at... He's all around. He's kind of reminds me of Shawn Michaels, where he could do a little bit of everything. So I think he can get serious when he has to. Pretty good stuff. Okay, so moving on. First time in pay-per-view history that I can remember that a match lasted longer than, like, a minute. That it was, like, a flat-out squash match. Bobby Lashley completely destroyed Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, I felt bad for Kofi.
Destroyed him. I mean, come on. Poor Kofi Kingston. What in the hell? They even had Bobby Lashley lose a couple weeks on Raw in a row to make him seem like he was losing momentum for this match. And I absolutely will tell you, I'm a Bobby Lashley fan. I loved the buildup of this match where they had Kofi and Xavier both. I mean, they just played it off to where Bobby was losing matches, and then Bobby just went, I don't know, did you watch Raw? He went off on MVP and said, "You're making me soft." And he literally got all intense.
Women and,
yeah,
and champagne.
And he got all intense and serious.
And they showed it.
And then, and they literally, the match played out the way Bobby said. Bobby said, "I am going to make you pay. I'm going to make you hurt." It was one of the moments where I was... felt bad for Kofi, but they made Bobby look super, super strong. And I can't wait because SummerSlam's coming up, and I've heard some rumors. I have not watched Raw, so I don't know if any of this has happened yet, or if, I don't know. Don't tell me if I'm onto something. I've heard Goldberg is next. That's what I've heard. I don't know if it's true. I'll watch Raw. I want to be surprised, so don't tell me anything. But I think they were making Bobby look strong before Goldberg. I think that's what that all was about. They're building up a Goldberg feud for SummerSlam, and that will be awesome.
Sad thing is, the best thing we can say about Kofi is... damn, that video game entrance is so cool.
Holy crap, that entrance was so awesome. And then everything went downhill for him.
Yeah.
But that that entrance was amazing.
Little Mario Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
New Day Mario Brothers. So cool.
That was so cool. And then he died. And then now we're probably not going to see Kofi on TV for...
yeah, no, he's dead.
A couple months
Bobby
now.
Absolutely destroyed him.
That dude's got to come back with a new gimmick because he just got killed. Oh, man.
Right.
Poor Kofi Kingston. But Bobby Lashley just... I don't think Kofi had one offensive move in the match. Like, I'd have to go back and watch it, but I literally don't think Kofi had a single offensive move. I really don't remember one. Maybe I could be wrong. But it just, it was a squash match on pay-per-view. How often does that happen?
Not often.
I mean, it's happened in like a minute and a half match. Like a quick match. This was like an 8-minute match. It was like, here, what's the official time? 7.5 minutes. He could have pinned him a long time ago in this match. He had the hurt lock on him and he let go of it to punish him some more.
Right. So, before we get to the next match... or do you have anything more to say on this one?
No, I just wanted to emphasize to the listeners how bad Kofi died on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely.
Poor Kofi
Kingston. Before we get to the next match, I would like to bring something up to you.
Sure.
So we had a listener call in and review this, give us their opinions on Money in the Bank.
What?
Yeah, a listener, Cody, he's a friend of mine that I know, working at a haunted house, and he called in and gave his opinions on Money in the Bank, so I was thinking we could listen to it.
Okay, so without further ado, this is Cody's view on the Money in the Bank.
Hey Blaze, it's Cody. Just calling in my feedback on the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. All in all, it was okay. I was kind of hoping for a Bray Wyatt comeback myself. Getting ready for SummerSlam, but, you know, maybe soon. Who knows? So first off, the women's Money in the Bank match, it was all right. It had some decent spots. I liked the winner. I thought Nikki A.S.H. was a good choice to be the winner. Then the Viking Raiders versus AJ Styles and Omos. It, it's going to be a while probably before anybody takes the titles off of them. It'll surprise me if it happens anytime soon. Decent match. It was all right. Kofi and Lashley. Now, in my opinion, all this was to build up Lashley the way they did with Brock Lesnar when he beat Kofi for the title super fast. You know, because I think they'll probably bring Lesnar back to face Lashley. That's just my opinion. It's just building them up. Same with them. I saw that Goldberg came back tonight, so it's going to be the same deal. Now, I know my daughter, Shy, was not real happy with the next match. She's a real big Rhea Ripley fan. I, myself, was not happy with the fact that they had Charlotte win. But, you know, it is what it is. She's a Flair. So they're gonna do what they do. But I will say, if you watch, the entrances gave away the winner. They had Rhea come out first. She was the champion, but they have her come out first. They gave away the winner before the match even started. They need to stop doing that because it happens way too often. Now the men's Money in the Bank, super happy with the winner. Big E, great. Great choice. He deserves it. He's been in there for a long time now. And, yeah, very happy with him winning the match. Couldn't be happier with that. All right. The next match, the last match, actually, was Edge versus Roman. I have never been a fan of Roman Reigns. I just can't help it. Good guy, bad guy. They push him down your throat, and I'm tired of it. I would have loved to have seen Edge win. I mean, I understand Roman's the top guy. He's the big heel in the company, but would have loved to have seen Edge win it. All the stuff that he's went through in the last 10 plus years, it would have been great to see. It was nice to see the Mysterios come down after losing their titles to the Usos. They came down and helped, made sure that it was fair. I am so sick of Seth Rollins. Also, he is one that I've not been a fan of at all. I can't help it. He just bugs me, and especially his character now, which I guess that's the point, to hate someone when they're a heel. So, I mean, he does the job well. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens from here on out. I'm not a fan of them bringing John Cena in for it. I really don't like part-timers being in the title pictures. I understand their thought process on it, but I'd rather see a full-time wrestler be part of the picture than anyone else. But, all right, well, all in all, the pay-per-view was all right. You know, I'm a Bray Wyatt fan. I'm hoping he comes back, and hopefully he has something going on for SummerSlam. We'll see. All right. Well, thanks for letting me call in and give me my opinions, and hopefully I can do it again. All right. Bye.
Okay, so thank you, Cody, for your views, and, so we're going to go move on now to, in my opinion, was probably the best match of the night.
Definitely talk about Charlotte and Rhea Ripley.
Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. This match might have stolen the show. And there was even a men's Money in the Bank match. Keep this in mind. There's another Money in the Bank match, and I think this stole the show. The crowd was into this. They were chanting, "This is awesome."
But here's the thing.
This was an amazing match, and it wasn't even like a stipulation, hardcore. This match was just amazing. I'm so sad to see Rhea Ripley lose the WWE Raw Women's Championship. But the match we got was freaking awesome.
It was fantastic. And the greatest thing about this is the fans didn't seem to be into it at first. If I remember right, there was quite a bit of booing. And then these two made it.
Well, did you see Charlotte Flair flipping off the crowd?
Yeah.
I was watching it, but I kind of wasn't 100% sure, like, what caused her to do it. I need to go back and watch the rewatch see what caused her to flip the fans off. Because I was watching it, but I think I was kind of talking to my wife at the beginning of the match. And then I looked up and it's like went black. And then they came back and they caught the end of her flipping off. They tried to edit it for some reason.
It's because it's Peacock.
Come on, guys.
Which makes me afraid of when Stone Cold's going to show up on Peacock. But
I'm just saying, it was just, oh my gosh. Like, obviously they must have been chanting or doing something that Charlotte didn't like, because she flipped the crowd off. And so, I know she's a heel, but that felt more personal.
So one thing I heard...
Yeah, they flipped the script, and these two got a roaring, acceptance from the crowd during this match.
So one thing I heard is, one thing that was mentioned on Sam Roberts' podcast, he mentioned that, he said before this match, one thing he had an issue with before this match was he didn't feel like it was clear cut who the face and who the heel was.
Yeah, they've been very on the fence with Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, so he said that Charlotte did the perfect thing by flipping off the crowd, because she just out of nowhere told you as the audience during the match, in ring, told the entire world, I'm flipping you off. I don't give a shit what you think about me. I'm the heel. I'm the one you hate. And they gave her the heat. Right there in that moment, she got the heat. Which makes her winning so much sweeter that she beat Rhea Ripley. Because she made the fans know that she doesn't give a shit what you think, and she won this match.
Yeah, so I agree that she definitely made sure she knew she was the heel. But I will say, they're right. His podcast is right. They have not made a clear-cut position. I don't know if they've ever made a different position on Charlotte. I think Charlotte's been acting like a heel the whole time.
Yeah, no.
But Rhea's the one they've kind of been on the fence about where she is. She has been heelish. She has been face. She's been all over the place since coming up on Raw, where she's kind of got this cocky attitude where I don't know if they knew how to go with that, because they've had her team up with like heels, but they've had her team up with faces. It's been really awkward the way they've done things here. But she was, I thought she was definitely the face in this feud.
Match, she was the face. She was the face.
But yeah, they've definitely had her doing heelish stuff. That's made it kind of blur the lines. It's almost felt like a heel versus heel feud. Because Rhea Ripley, they haven't really confirmed whether she's a face or... She was a face in NXT, and there was no question about it. Yeah. So for her to be a... I don't know how you would call her. Almost Stone Cold-like, where Stone Cold was a face, but he did a lot of heel stuff. But the crowd liked him. I think the crowd does like Rhea Ripley, but you didn't have that crowd reaction to know how they were taking Rhea Ripley. You had, it was very odd in the Thunderdome era because you really don't know how the crowd is reacting to some of these. And it was kind of cool to see that on SmackDown and then
I have some
Money in the Bank.
That, but I'll bring that up later.
Because they've definitely let you know who they like and who they don't like during these shows.
That's the one. I think that's the biggest thing I've missed about having crowds during the pandemic is that the crowds do not care. They will cheer who they like. They will boo who they don't. They are very vocal, and it's one of the best things about wrestling is the crowd. You can try to tell them what you like. And, you know, I thought this was a new thing. But doing our podcast, I found out it's not. The crowds have always been vocal about their opinion.
Yeah. And I'm sure WWE, to a degree, has swayed things because of that reaction.
Oh, yeah.
At times, definitely. I mean, look at Cena's promos. Cena talks about it. He knows he knows that he's beloved by children and hated by men, you know, adults. Yeah. So, I mean, Cena is aware of his standing with the WWE Universe. They keep him face, but he definitely knows where that he is. There is definitely a crowd out there that does not like him.
The biggest example of the crowd dictating what happens in wrestling is Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is the prime example of the crowd saying, this is what we want. Because Daniel Bryan was never supposed to be the face of the company. He was never supposed to be the champion. He was not. In the WWE's eyes, he was a mid-carder. He was not supposed to be the hottest thing. The crowds made him the biggest thing. The crowds loved him. And that's why they became so vocal that Vince McMahon had to say, all right, just let it happen. He's the prime example of the crowd saying, this is what we want, and we get what we want.
Oh, and that's another thing. You mentioned Vince McMahon, and I know we're kind of getting off topic. We were talking about Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley, which was I think the best match of the night. But we have to go back and talk about how SmackDown opened on Friday. And Vince McMahon comes out and doesn't say anything except he looks at the crowd and says, where the hell have you been? And then he bows and leaves. That was it. That was like the greatest opening segment, I think, of SmackDown ever. It was amazing. He was like, where the hell have you been? Like, this is so McMahon.
Like it's their fault they haven't.
Yeah, like why haven't you been coming to our shows? It's like, do I not entertain you? Are you not entertained? So anyhow, that was like the greatest opening. I thought that was great. That was fun for Vince McMahon, I think, to do.
All right,
Rhea and Charlotte, and they tore the roof off that place. Come on.
And the fantastic part about it was, they made Rhea strong. They made super strong. And the only reason Charlotte wins is because she pretty much does some dirty tactics, taking out her leg.
Yeah.
And then puts her in the figure eight.
Well, and they made sure to show that Rhea wasn't going to tap. Rhea wasn't going to get pinned. She was, I mean, the natural selection off the top rope, and kicks out. It was like, oh my gosh, this match is awesome. So for them to, like, use the steps to indicate, look, I didn't just put the figure four, or I think it's the figure eight.
It's figure eight with her.
I didn't just put the figure eight on her. I had to wound her and brutalize her before she would even tap out.
Yeah.
So that was a great finish. It told a great, just Rhea Ripley's a badass, and it what is it going to take? And Charlotte had a couple moments of kickouts and stuff where she just had this glare of, what is it going to take to beat this bitch? I mean, you could see it in her eyes. Like, and she told that story perfectly. So it was absolutely awesome. Also, I'd like to point out, Rhea Ripley gave Charlotte Flair, now keep in mind, Flair's daughter, Ric Flair's daughter, this is who Rhea Ripley did this to, so I thought it was kind of poetic, the nastiest chops I think I have ever seen in a women's wrestling match. Charlotte's chest was blistered. The camera caught it a couple times. Charlotte's chest was completely blistered.
Right.
It was nasty chops. And I was just like, oh my gosh. Those are some hard-hitting chops right there on live TV. It was awesome. I don't know what more to say about this match. That match had just had everything. That match was awesome. It was a great match. Like I said, there was even a Money in Bank match, and I'm telling you, that was the best match of the night. I enjoy the Money in Bank match. I absolutely love them.
I like the men's a lot, so I don't know.
Those two girls tore the roof off. That was insane. And the crowd was eating that match up. They were so into it. Now, having said that, we have to move on to, I believe the next match was the men's Money in the Bank match. But unfortunately, before we talk about the men's Money in the Bank match, we have to talk about how big of piece of garbage Peacock is. Peacock could not handle the stream, and it broke down during this match. So me watching it live did not get to see this match until after I already knew Big E won, and after the show was over, and I had to wait till like midnight for the replay for it to finally show up on Peacock, or 11:30 or midnight, somewhere around there it showed up, the replay showed up. But I did not get to watch this match live because of issues on Peacock's end. And so did most of the U.S. and Canada, from what I heard.
This son of a bitch.
Seriously. You got WWE Network handled this stuff just fine. Then you have WWE Network let you pause and rewind live programming. Peacock. I couldn't even rewind it to watch the match before the main event once the buffering stopped, because you can't even figure out how to do live TV in 2021. I love my WWE Network. I actually think Peacock's a pretty good value, having all the shows, including with the wrestling. But you gotta get your shit together.
Yeah, WWE Network was hands down better, though. I mean, one thing I miss from the WWE Network is I love that we were able to see what, like, we could just go straight to a match. Like, we could go to a match. I think sometimes they had it where you could just go straight to the end of a match, you know? They had them in segments, you know? So, yeah, WWE Network was a much better. I'm hoping they maybe update the Peacock to mimic, like, having the segments and everything where you could just click on a match and go straight to that match. But as of right now, we don't have that option.
Yeah, it was definitely
more streamlined, really nice.
Yeah, it was a lot easier to use WWE Network, so I will say that. The sad thing is I don't think we'll ever get back to what WWE Network was on Peacock, but there is a few things they could fix. The live streaming is one of them they could fix. And that would fix for all live streaming for Peacock, not just WWE stuff. Now, will they jump to a certain match? I don't know if they'll get that detailed, because they're not that detailed on the movies and shows they have. So it's hard to say.
Different though.
It's just hard to say if they'll do that. But anyhow, so Peacock aside, we'll. Like I said, they've got their issues, and they had a big issue in America and Canada yesterday where it was freezing up, and it was unwatchable during the Money in the Bank match. Mine, I don't know about everybody else, but mine never got fixed until after the match, and right when Edge was about to walk out, that's when mine fixed. I got to see half of Edge's entrance. That's when mine fixed to where I was able to watch it normal again the rest of the show.
I have bad internet, so I always watch it after the fact. So I didn't get to deal with this.
I was going to Cedar Point the next day. I was trying to watch it live. before, yeah, you know.
I never try to watch it live. It never works well for me.
Okay, so Money in the Bank, men's Money in the Bank ladder match. We had Seth Rollins, Riddle, Ricochet, King Nakamura, Kevin Owens, John Morrison, Drew McIntyre, and Big E. With Big E being the big winner, I think a lot of people was happy about that. The crowd sounded happy about that. I know Craig will be happy about that.
Oh, yeah, he's loving it, loving every moment. He was loving every moment of it, but he was kind of hoping, he was kind of wishing that the Money in the Bank was before the championship match with Kofi, because he thought it would have been cool if he came out, saved Kofi, and then Kofi, like, half dead, told him, do it, and use the Money in the Bank cash in right then and there.
That's kind of a good take on what could have happened.
Yeah, that would
cash in, make it a triple threat match after...
No, he's saying that after he was pretty much... So essentially his story is Bobby Lashley's beating the crap out of Kofi, had already defeated him, and Big E comes in running to help his buddy. And then after he's done beating or saving Kofi, Kofi's like, do it. And pushes Big E to just use the briefcase. He even thought of a scenario where where Xavier Woods actually is the one that brings out the suitcase. It's like, Big E, just use it. And then Big E becomes champion right then and there. But alas, they had that match before the Money in the Bank, so it didn't work that way. But he said that would have been cool. I agree. It would have been a cool way of doing it. But one thing I want to mention is the crowd booed Drew McIntyre. Hardcore booed him. I didn't. That's one of the beauties of live crowds. I didn't realize Drew is so disliked right now.
I like Drew McIntyre. I don't know why.
I like Drew too, but... You know, and if this is the reason they boo, I guess I get it. I like Drew McIntyre, but I kind of find him to be kind of a... Well, number one, he was the last person I wanted to win that Money in the Bank.
Yeah, and I actually thought they were setting that up pretty good with Jinder Mahal. I kind of predicted that Jinder Mahal was going to prevent Drew from winning, because Drew was the most likely guy that they were going to put it on. Because they'd already gave Drew the whole stipulation that you can't compete for the WWE Championship as long as Bobby Lashley is champion, that he's not allowed to compete for it. I almost was worried that that was their way of retracting that rule,
right,
by giving him the Money in the Bank, so I was not looking forward to that. But having Jinder Mahal and him,
I just
feud,
knew out of it, those that, eight that people, helped. He was the last person I wanted to win.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't like Drew. It's more that he's had the title for so long.
Yeah.
I don't feel like he needs the Money in the Bank right now. Like, that's...
He's already established himself.
Yeah.
Now, Big E, I'm happy for. I like Big E, and I'm super excited that he won the Money in the Bank. But I will say, I kind of had a sentimental favorite here that I didn't think was going to happen, but there was times in the match that I kind of thought it might. I really wanted to see John Morrison win this. I like John Morrison. He's a hell of a wrestler, and he's never had that chance to be that guy.
I feel like the biggest shocker would have been, and I also, not only would he be the biggest shocker to win, but he's also the one that I felt shined the most in this this match. Do you know who that is?
Ricochet?
Ricochet. Ricochet was amazing in this Money in the Bank match. And he would have been the biggest shock to win, and out of everyone, probably needs the push more than anyone. I mean,
yeah, another guy I was worried about winning that I don't think needed it, and I really was happy he lost, was Seth Rollins. I was kind of worried he might win.
I thought he was probably the... I feel like he was the favorite other than Drew.
Yeah. Which, so, yeah, I was kind of worried it was going to be Drew or Seth, but I was hoping it wouldn't be. And luckily, it was Big E. That was the right choice. No, but this was a heck of a match, too. This had really good moments. This was fun. This was a really good Money in the Bank match. I've read online some people think it was the best Money in the Bank match they've ever seen. I don't know if I'd go that far, but it was a pretty good match.
I don't know. I don't know if any Money in the Bank match will top the Money in the Bank when Daniel Bryan won. I think it was 2012, 2011. That was a fantastic Money in the Bank. But this was a lot of fun. This is a really good Money in the Bank match, which is the only reason I can't easily say that Charlotte Rhea was the best, because this one was right up there with them. I think you might be right that Charlotte Rhea was slightly better, but this was a lot of fun.
Charlotte and Rhea and the crowd reaction and the match itself, they tore the roof off that place. That was the match.
Yeah, but this was a lot of fun.
Don't get me wrong. Money in the Bank was fun. Absolutely loved it. That's why we watch Money in the Bank. Screw you, Peacock, for making me delayed and have to wait later to watch it and get to bed later, and I was tired the morning of Cedar Point. Screw you, Peacock. But the Charlotte Flair Rhea Ripley match, that stole the show. Which is amazing that it stole the show on a Money in the Bank pay-per-view, in my opinion. I think it stole the show. So moving on, get to our main event, Edge versus Roman Reigns. And for the Universal Championship, there's no shocker here. I didn't think Edge was going to win this, to be honest with you. I was pretty sure Roman Reigns was going to win this because you're trying to establish him as the top dog in WWE right now. You wouldn't want to ruin what you're doing right now by having some Hall of Famer come in and beat him. So I didn't think Edge was going to win this match. This was going to be Roman. I mean, maybe Edge will get the title back eventually, but right now Roman is just too good. He needs to headline SummerSlam. He's just too good. This was a good match. This wasn't a bad match.
This was a good match.
This was a great match.
I thought this was
and
a
the
really
crowd
good
was
match.
Super into this one too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So this was a good match. I don't know what else to really say about it. It had a lot of good moments. Definitely got overshadowed by the Rhea Ripley-Charlotte Flair match, in my opinion. But it was still a really good match. Edge did a really good job for his age. Thought that was pretty impressive to put on such a good match. But the story of this match is the ending. And was the fact that John Cena returned to the WWE.
Now, I heard some music, but I didn't see him.
You because you can't see me or him, whatever. I thought it was awesome that he returned. I think he being gone away, I think it was good enough to have him come back. I thought
he's
been gone long enough that I'm willing to have him back. At one time, he was shoved down your throat, and I was tired of him. But he's been gone long enough, I was happy to see him back. The one thing I was surprised about, though, is the show...
The
show ended with just him pandering to the crowd and not talking. He didn't even pick up a mic.
No, and it was actually great. Because he gets in the ring and he's just doing his whole thing. And then he's, like, cheering and everything, and Roman's just staring at him. And then he looks at Roman, he's like, oh, yeah, I didn't see you there. Like, he doesn't care about Roman and just, you can't see me.
But, yeah, that was my only disappointment, is that it ended without him saying a single word. It was just like, acknowledge that he was there, and that was about it.
So you didn't even mention the fact that Seth Rollins came out.
Fair enough, I got ahead of myself.
Interfered in this match, and we also know who Edge is probably facing at SummerSlam.
Yeah, it looks like Edge-Seth Rollins match is going to happen. Definitely looks like John Cena and Roman Reigns. And still don't know because I haven't watched Monday Night Raw, but I have heard rumors Bobby Lashley-Goldberg. So SummerSlam is shaping up to be a big show. If all that, you know, comes to fruition. But sounds like a big show. Big things happening. I mean, the crowd's back. This is awesome. Cleveland, Ohio, this Friday's night. This Friday. SmackDown is in Cleveland. I can't go because I'm on vacation. I'll be gone. Wish I could have went, but wasn't able to go to this. Love to try to maybe go to Extreme Rules. Is going to be in Columbus, so you know that's going to be awesome. To have a pay-per-view in Columbus.
What month is that?
I think October. You asked me too quick. I'd have to go back and do my research. I just know it was announced that they were going to be in Columbus for Extreme Rules. I'm just not 100% sure which month that airs in. Either September or October, I think. So, but anyhow, but yeah, overall, I thought Money in the Bank was a pretty good show. It was a lot better show than last pay-per-view. I think the last pay-per-view was just... I'm trying to remember what it was.
Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell, I thought it was okay. I don't think that was the greatest of pay-per-views. I think having the crowd back,
Money in the Bank was really good.
Energized this a lot more.
Oh, definitely. It's so nice to have crowds back. Knowing who they hate, knowing who they love.
Yeah.
Not having to worry about the WWE piping in your... cheers and booze.
Yeah, so don't want to go back to the Thunderdome. Thought it was interesting. They tried to make it creative. Nothing beats live crowds.
I am thankful for the Thunderdome because it is what we had to do for what was going on in the world.
And it beat the hell out of empty arenas.
Oh my
which
gosh.
It was still empty arenas, but it made it more watchable. I don't know why. It just did.
Well,
the WrestleMania was probably the most brutal thing I'd ever sat through last year. It didn't feel epic. It felt like a low budget. It just didn't feel real. I know that was early in the pandemic. It just happened.
Oh, yeah. Literally.
But there, it just did not feel right at all. WrestleMania last year was just didn't feel...
It was very sad.
It didn't feel like WrestleMania. Maybe if the Thunderdome was there at WrestleMania time, maybe it would have felt a little bit more epic. Who knows? Hard to say. But we can put the Thunderdome behind us. Live crowds are back. That is awesome. And like I said, Money in the Bank, it was pretty good. My only gripe really was that I think the crowd in SmackDown was louder overall. I think that SmackDown crowd was like super pumped to be the
first
people. But the Money in the Bank crowd was hot and cold at times. They had moments where it was like they were super into it. Then there was moments where I felt like they were kind of, I don't know, it's kind of hot and cold. It was weird. So that is it for our Money in the Bank coverage. Like I said, pretty good show. Happy to see crowds back. And not really happy that Charlotte Flair's a champion again. Was hoping Rhea would get a little bit longer. But they put on a hell of a show for us.
The rumors I'm hearing is Charlotte's champion because Becky's coming back.
Is that so?
So, and this isn't a huge spoiler, but during Charlotte's thing, she kind of pops at Becky. She mentions, she's like, I'm the champion, and people start chanting, Becky Lynch, Becky Lynch. And she's like, Becky Lynch is... busy breastfeeding her baby. She's not here.
Jeez.
So she kind of like took a jab at Becky Lynch. I think that is why Charlotte is the champion, because I think we may get Becky Lynch versus Charlotte at SummerSlam.
You know who can't breastfeed children anymore due to Rhea Ripley? Charlotte Flair. That boob looked freaking busted. Dear Lord.
Jeez.
She was... Oh, my gosh. Those chops were vicious. Go watch it. Go watch the replay. Go zoom in. It was freaking vicious. I'm not being perverted. I'm being serious. She had blisters. It was bad. It was, she got chopped bad.
All right. Yeah, she did. So, real quickly, I just wanted to give a shout-out to Tom and Adam of the Clonecast. They shouted us out a little bit, quite a few episodes ago. They're a podcast that I listen to, that I contact, that I talk to every once in a while. Really fun podcast. It's called the Clonecast. Their Twitter is ClonecastPod, and they're going through and watching the Clone Wars podcast, or not podcast, but show. They're watching the Clone Wars show, the proper timeline, I guess, because the show kind of jumps back and forth through the Star Wars, and they kind of just, they found the actual, the Disney has released an actual timeline of when these episodes take place, and they watch it in the order that Disney laid out, not the actual first episode on. So, just wanted to give them a shout out. Thank you for shouting me out. Clonecast Pod. Thanks so much.
Okay, so this has been our special episode of the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And good night from Rage's Pit.
And here is your winners, and still podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show. Thank you for listening.